such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, and welcome TGIF. Thank God it's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
You know, well, we'll talk a little bit today about All Saints Day and All Souls Day. Yesterday, I made a little bit of a deviation for a purpose because they were doing all this filming on the iconic monstrance, Our Lady of the Sign. But can you believe that we're in November?
I can't believe it.
And everybody I talk to says the same thing. Like, it's as if it just feels like time is spinning out of control. And I don't know if it's just I'm getting older, but I mean, everybody's saying that.
Everybody's saying
this. Is that what it is? Armin says it's because I'm getting older.
It feels like every year time goes faster and faster. You can't keep up.
Slow down a bit, you know?
Yes.
Somebody, please. I suspect if we didn't have social media. Yeah. I'm not.
Busy. You're busy all the time.
All the time.
And I think that's what it is when you, and people say this, and I've tried to take this advice for myself to stop and smell the roses. Stop.
You can't.
Or smell the coffee.
Sometimes you can't.
Smell the coffee.
Exactly.
We got the coffee.
But I mean, even taking that, and that's why I think just thinking about it in the past few days about silence, making that time.
Oh gosh,
once you make that time, I was just telling Christina, I really wish I could come to the masses every evening. Right. I mean, it's such a beautiful experience.
It was when I had the interview yesterday on the monstrance and the importance of adoration. I said, and I really mean this, I wouldn't survive without adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, without my chapel. And there's a difference. Having the Blessed Sacrament in the chapel, and for me, it's the exposition. I thank God as a priest I can expose in my own chapel the Blessed Sacrament, but the fact that we have the Holy Eucharist is exposed in the church, I wouldn't survive. That's and I don't know if I mentioned yesterday, but I was speaking about this. I think I did yesterday, but the adoration, because mass is the highest act of prayer, the Holy Mass, the Holy Eucharist, because it is the perpetuation of the, I keep referring to it as the Messianic Hour. I don't know that a lot of people refer to it as that, but that's because from the Old Covenant, from the Jews, from the Israelites, the Messiah would come. God formed this people that from them the Messiah would come, and then the Old Covenant would really morph into the new, universal, eternal covenant, the kingdom beyond the here and now of this world as the world is passing away. Which is, by the way, the basic one of the themes of this month of November, right? Because we're moving toward the Feast of Christ the King when he comes in glory at the end of all things. And then we move right into the season of Advent, whereby we again reflect on and keep, the theme is to keep vigil, right? To be vigilant. But to have adoration is the only way, because when we're with so at the Mass, okay, you're expending energy. Certainly, we call it, because it is liturgy, is a work. Mm-hmm. Liturgy means work. The liturgy of the Holy Mass or the Divine Liturgy, the sacred mysteries, we're in the work of prayer. And so we're giving adoration, making supplication. We come in thanksgiving, praise and gratitude. And certainly we're there seeking forgiveness for our sins. And we're there together. And so it is, you know, there's a work that goes into that. When you go to adoration, because even Jesus in his when he was here in the flesh, as he was among the people, he was expending energy. I always think of the woman who said, "If I can just but touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed." And I was speaking about that somewhere the other day. I don't know if it was here, or maybe on the radio. I'm all over the place.
People, yeah.
So I never know where I'm. You know, but the like you say, Tony, you have to hear it over
you
and
have
over.
To. Mm-hmm. So
the woman was. She had suffered 18 years from this affliction, and Jesus was. I don't know if it was in Capernaum. I believe it might have been. And anyway, she thought, if I could but get to him, if I could just but touch the hem of his garment, I know that I will be healed. And she crawled to him. She touched his garment. And Jesus said, "Somebody touched me." And the disciples are saying, "Everybody's touching you, you know. Look, you're in the midst of this crowd." He said, no, somebody touched me because I felt power go out of me. And then she, trembling, said, "Lord, it was I." And he says, "Woman, your faith has healed you." And she was healed. But the point being is that the Lord, especially in, you see this most especially in Mark's gospel, Jesus is trying to get away from the crowd. Mm-hmm. He needs to recoup energy. He's expending energy. This is God who has come to us in the flesh, fully divine, fully human, but his humanity, as I say so often, put certain limitations on his divinity while he was in the flesh, so he longed for that return to the Father. And he would seek the wilderness, the desert, go to the top of a mountain, and there he would spend all night in prayer, just in communion with the Father. And he would go, sometimes he took the apostles with him, but oftentimes he went alone. In fact, he even said, you know, he would leave them be. He would go, he had to even get away from them. And I do mean get away from them, right? And basically, adoration, when we go to adoration, that's what we're doing. We're really going into the, it's really going with the Lord mm-hmm. into the wilderness, into the desert, to the top of the mountain. Those are metaphors, right? But just to go to a lonely place, an out-of-the-way place, a quiet place, and to be, and this is the great beauty of adoration, is because we are absolutely in the presence of Jesus. And in essence, we're, like the woman says, if I can but just touch him. And so we go there knowing that we're coming close to him. Certainly in the Mass, when we receive him, we're not just touching him, but we're really consuming Jesus. When you think about that, that's really interesting. But in adoration, it's to go, and it's to know that we're in the presence of the Lord. And whether people are conscious of it or not, really, and I'll mention this in a moment because I was speaking about this with the students, and yesterday I was talking about this because today with the students we had the Mass for All Saints Day on Wednesday, but today we did All Souls Day with the students, so they had two Masses this week. But the where was I going to go with this? To be in the presence of Christ, just to be there. Oh, I said something yesterday, and I don't know that I'm always afraid now that things can be taken out of context when you're before the camera. But I said, you know, in adoration, you can throw your tantrums, you can express the lament of Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. You can be there, you know, certainly in gratitude, or just be still, know that he is God, or speak to him, or just, you know, Lord, show me the way, just give me the strength. But just know that you're with God. You think about that. You're with God who created you, who redeemed you, who wants to sanctify you, and it's only because, have I said this before? I think life is teaching me that slowly but surely, but there's only one you can trust, and that's God.
Yeah.
And so, you know, going there knowing that this is my creator, this is my redeemer, this is God in his greatest, with his greatest attribute, which is mercy, and he's our destination, you know. We come from God, we go to God, but we have to choose to live in God. It's really a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful gift that we have in the church, and it needs to be, I think, something that I do believe that the renewal or the reform of the church in this really, really difficult time we're going through at multiple levels of life would be the restoration. I say the restoration, well, if it hasn't happened, that there should, or if it had happened and it's not happening, we need to open the doors and we need to have, or at least have places where we can have adoration. Again, isn't that the why of the sanctuary, Our Lady's call, that open the doors, that the cacophony of the world not shout into silence the voice of God. But anyway, does that sound bad when I say, you know, we can throw our tantrums and we can
no,
do it?
No, Father, because okay. It's an opportunity to have that intimacy, that encounter with Christ, and to tell him, to pour our hearts out to him, everything, and tell him. He knows, but he wants to hear us. It's like when you want to hear somebody tell you that they love you. You know it, but it's nice to hear it. So even when we say that, we just sit there and be still and know that he is God, to let him love us. It's also, I think it's beautiful for us to tell him, to let him know that we love him too.
Right. But I go back to my question, but can you throw a tantrum?
Sure, because okay. God, he knows us best.
Because you're right, because you don't want to, you've got to go before the Lord. Because you're
as
going
we are.
To, well, I go back to the lament of Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. And I wrote about that in my book because I've experienced that so often. Where, and even I would say even last week, although it wasn't quite extreme, but because of the torture I was going through because yeah, of this sure. Interview that I sure. did with the New York Times and which wasn't bad, you know. By the way, I went back and read it. And I thought there's nothing bad about this at all, but it ruffled some feathers. And then of course things. I made a horrible mistake of reading all the commentary finally one night. And I thought, oh, geez. There was a while there, and I thought, okay, I've committed the unforgivable sin, not from the perspective of the gospel, and I had prayed about this before because I pray through everything. I take sure. everything into prayer because I know that I get in the way and I know I'm deeply flawed and I'm probably my worst enemy. But which is as we were talking, Tony, we were talking before that because they were doing the filming yesterday. Mm-hmm. I just was the cameras. I just hate the camera and they had that camera. I even told Dimitri. I said, Dimitri, I love you, but I hate your camera. That's like your weapon. He was all over the place. But there was a point last week where I said, you know, you betrayed me, you know.
Why
did you betray me?
Why did you do this to me?
But like you said, but in honest, because he knows our heart and he knows, going back to the lament of Jeremiah, mm-hmm. who said, yes, you know, God, who can we send? Jeremiah, send me, to do what? To be the bearer of bad news, you know, that if people don't change their ways, there's going to be bad things that are going to mm-hmm. happen. There needs to be repentance. There needs to be conversion. We got to return to the covenant. We got to move away from our idols, get the abominations out of the holy place of God. And so Jeremiah, you know, who loved God so much, and yes, of course, I'll be your emissary. I'll be your prophet. And he goes, and it causes him so much there's so much angst against mm-hmm. him because people didn't want to hear the call. And there's just a the beautiful lament of Jeremiah where he says, and he was pretty strong. I mean, he says, "Here I am, sitting alone in the midst of merrymakers because I said yes to you, yeah. Almighty God. And here I am alone in the midst of merrymakers, and I'll never speak in your name ever again. You know, cursed be the day of my birth. My mother should have aborted me." He said all those things, you know. Mm-hmm. And it pretty honest,
pretty
right?
Harsh.
Pretty, you know, because I said yes to you, and this is what you've done yeah. to me, you know. And then I will speak no longer in your name. But then what happens? That fire begins to burn within, and yeah. I can't hold it in. No, because it's the love of God is most overpowering. By the way, this is an experience, and I'm not advocating for this for anybody, but I'm just saying it goes to the fact that you've got to be honest. You can't
just be yourself.
You don't put on holy clothes for God. You know, you have to be. Mm-hmm. God has to deal with the reality of who we are, and because He is the potter molding the clay, yeah. and He's the sculptor chipping away. It hurts a little bit because He's not gonna. In my opinion, and certainly this is salvation history, and you know you read the lives of the saints, you read sacred scripture. God's not going to treat us like China dolls, you know. He's going to break us in order to bring us to do what you know, to fulfill His will. And I remember in the seminary, I was I just wanted to be away. This is the first year. And I did not want to be there. I wanted to be away. I knew deep down that God was calling me, and the doors just opened. It was just too obvious, you know, that there were so many signs that were unfolding through the whole course of my life. So I finally get there, and this is not where I want to be, anywhere but here. And it really bothered me, and I remember one day going into the chapel, and my place in the chapel was in the corner of the chapel, and that's what was my little cocoon was there, you know. One day I just said, you know, please forgive me for saying this, but I think people, hopefully they'll understand. God understands at least, you know. But I went there and I said, you know, I don't want any part of this, none of this. You know, I'm done. You know, because Jesus said, you know, if you shake the dust from your feet, mm-hmm. Leave peace and move on. And so I basically went before the Lord in the chapel, before the Blessed Sacrament. I was very young, and I said, you know, I want nothing. I don't want no part of this. You know, forget it. I shake the dust from my feet, and I'm not even going to leave peace. I'm just going to move on. And so I did, and I felt great. I felt like I had regained control of my life, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm going through the whole day feeling pretty good about myself because I'm no longer bound to God. You know, I've liberated myself mm-hmm. from God and God's call to me. But I'm still a seminarian. So I had to, you know, that evening we went to Mass and I'm sitting in the corner, but like this, right? With my hands crossed. Like, you know, I'm in control now.
That's me in the corner.
I've regained myself. I'm in charge here. Yeah. I've got control over myself.
Sure.
No longer do you have control over me. And so I felt pretty proud sitting there. And then wouldn't you know it, it just like all of a sudden, I'm just inundated with the love of God. It was just like, He just felt this unbelievable, powerful presence of God's love just come over me in that arrogant, prideful, liberating moment that I thought I was enjoying and all this. And I'm sitting there saying, why do you do this to me? Why?
And that's
kind of what Jeremiah yeah. did. It's not kind of, it is what Jeremiah
it's
did.
It's like this movie, I don't know if you saw, Father, Heaven is for Real?
I did not, no.
And there's a pastor, and his son is very, he went into a coma or something happened, and that's his only son. And the pastor, he went into the chapel, and he said, don't you dare, he yelled at the top of his lungs,
right?
Don't you dare do this to me. Don't you dare take my son away from me.
Oh, I did see that.
Yes. And he said, then later on, he says, you know, he heard my prayer. His son came back. Yeah. And he said, I can't believe he heard my prayer. I yelled at him, but I can say this, that it was the most sincere prayer of all the prayers I've done. It came out of my whole being, my whole heart and soul. Yeah. I just poured it out to him, and that's what he wants from us. He wants us to be who we are and to be real.
Right. What's that movie, The Fiddler on the Roof?
Mm-hmm.
Tevi, is it Tevi? Yeah. I love that. I happened to see it not too long ago in Rochester on the TCM when I was in Rochester, and they had the Fiddler on the Roof, and it reminded me, you know, the realism of his relationship with God. You know, he's constantly talking to God. You know, why? What? You know, what
did I do?
What did I do?
To deserve this. Like even St. Teresa of Avila when she fell.
Exactly. Right.
If this is how you treat your friends, no wonder you have so
Yeah, that's so beautiful, yeah. Oh, so this is how you, no wonder you, this is how you treat your friends. She fell off the horse, right?
Yeah. Into she wasn't feeling well, she was sick. And
yeah,
all.
And
so fell in the mud.
Yeah, this is how you treat your friends. No wonder you have so few friends. Anyway. We'll take a break. I can't believe we're 22 minutes in. But this is going to be kind of a light day. I think we need a light day. I need a light day. And we love God. And God, because God loves us, you know.
Yes.
But it's the beauty of being. I hope everybody hears this and understands it. Just when you go before the Lord, you know, He's your creator. He's your redeemer. He looks on you. He sees what He created, who He created. He's the artist. You're the work of His hands. And He knows, yeah, we've got rough edges and we get idiosyncrasies and we are sinners. But if we're sincerely trying to live according to God's will and really in that search, that constant seeking God, you know, we got to do so in the realism of who we are, in the realism of who He is, and allowing Him to, yes, chip away in order to bring us into truth, away from falsehood and into our true selves as created in His image and likeness. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air. What with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
the Winds of Change. Winds of Change has an immediate part-time opening for producer board operator. The duties include running the Winds of Change program, assembling the best of programs, working with a host radio station and program hosts, writing the day's program summary for web posting, plus uploading a copy of the day's program to our web-based archive. Familiarity with Adobe Audition is desirable. Also have knowledge of the teachings of the Catholic faith. The Winds of Change studio is located at 1351 West Evergreen Avenue, Chicago, at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish. Work hours are Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Interested parties may submit resumes to adcmedia@hotmail.com. adcmedia@hotmail.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So let's do pray, and we want to pray for peace, for conversion, and for peace, conscious of all those who are suffering throughout the world, especially right now in the Holy Land, and beyond human comprehension. You'd think we'd be over this, but it's just man's inhumanity to man. From Ecclesiastes, you know, there's a time for peace and a time for war, a time for joy, a time for sadness, and to pull that out. That is really part of the reality of life, is it? Isn't it? We're not gonna create some kind of utopian, a perfect world here, this side of death. This world is passing away, as we anticipate every time we celebrate the Holy Mass. We offer that Mass in anticipation of the coming of Christ. And again, this month of November is a month whereby we remember the dead, remember last things, We come from God, we go to God, if we choose to live in God, and we are obedient to the law written into our heart, but even it has to go beyond that. And we'll talk about that, I think, in a moment, too. So, but let us do pray. We'll offer the Angelus and the Chaplet for peace, for conversion, for metanoia, a change of heart, hearts that are directed toward God. So in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this very critical time, we entrust the entire world to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim the world for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of the world, we cry out to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life, to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from all falsehood, all that leads to evil, all that threatens life, threatens the sanctity of family life, or life that is conceived in the womb of its mother. Grant our country and the entire world the wisdom to proclaim God's law as a foundation upon which life that we were created, and that He alone is a true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints in heaven,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And indeed, we have to look to the church triumphant. You know, that's what I was trying to impress upon the kids, the children today, you know, that we just celebrated the other day the All Saints Day, and today we offered the Mass for the commemoration of the faithful departed. So I want to understand the two destinations, right, heaven and hell, and that there is this purgation that happens if we're not, if we die in God's grace, but we haven't made reparation for our sins, or we're inordinately attached to the things of this world. And I'll bring that up in a moment in one of the readings, but I wanted to tell you who came to visit us the other day. Mm-hmm. So there's always fun every year. You know, I never know who's going to come. So, but always on All Saints Day, we have the visitation of certain saints. Certain saints come to visit us. Whether, you know, when we enter into the Holy Mass, the church believes that, you know, we're the church militant, the church in the battle, a word that was shunned years ago. You know, you remember when you were confirmed? I don't know if you guys remember, Christina, probably not you, no. But we were confirmed, you're a soldier of Christ, right?
Yep.
And you get a slap across the face, a bishop would slap you across the face, just a tap, but it was...
No, wait a minute, you gotta preface that by saying... A little, you know, it's not a slap.
No.
People are thinking today of slapping his face.
Slap my face.
But it was symbolic.
Right.
But it wasn't, it didn't hurt.
Right.
It was just like a tap.
To let you know, you're a soldier.
You're a soldier of Christ. You gotta defend the faith. And then in some crazy way, you know, in the 1970s, it was like you can't dare use any kind of that.
Right.
Anything that reeked of battle, or we're in the fight, or we're soldiers of Christ, or it's a spiritual battle.
Isn't it funny how the years go by. Look where we're at
Look where we're at now, right? And who can deny it? And by the way, and I think that's why people are longing for and going back to
I think so.
The traditional language of the church, because they realize, hey, we're really in a battle.
You think about some of these young people. I mean, what's the explanation? While they sit and they say, well, you know, I want the tradition. I want, you know, the holiness.
Right.
I don't get it.
Yeah, well.
The angels, too. The angels are warriors. They're supposed to protect, like, Saint Michael the Archangel. And right. Then.
He was here the other day.
He was here the other word. But it. They, like the cherubs.
Bilocated, by the way, right?
He bilocated the other day.
Yeah.
And St. Rosalie. No, but what I was saying is that they have this image of these little cute little angels, and that's...
Little cherubs.
The cherubs.
And angels are warriors.
Defenders. St. Michael.
Yeah.
We need to restore the St. Michael prayer. We do it. We pray always at the end of the Mass here at all the Masses, even in Polish and Spanish and all that. But so so you mentioned we had St. Michael here too. And they did a really nice job, didn't they, the costumes?
They were really, the only one that I was a little confused, I thought he was St. Nicholas. And it was St. Augustine, because I saw the cane.
Well, it was like a candy cane, right?
It was a candy cane, and I thought, oh, it's St. Nicholas.
I did, too.
It was St. Augustine.
St. Augustine.
We couldn't find the cane.
He had the mitre, but I, when I saw that, too, the that cane, threw me, because it was a huge, it was like one of those candy canes you put outdoors. Right.
Got it at the dollar store. Anyway, I was confused.
So do you remember who was here?
Yes, I do.
Well, the first graders didn't come. You know, I always say, I don't understand why the first graders never come to Mass.
Why didn't they come this year?
They just never come on All Saints Day.
They miss it.
So they miss it altogether. But do you remember some of the saints who came?
Yes, there was. There were two Rosa of Lima.
St. Rosa of Lima.
St. Rosa of Lima. There
from
was
Peru.
From Peru. There was a Saint.
Well, from heaven, but in Peru. Right.
There was St. Francis of Assisi.
Right.
St. Patrick.
Right, that's right. We had St. Patrick.
There was Mother Teresa.
And she did. She was
beautiful, yes.
It was actually the costume of Mother Teresa. I talked to her parents afterwards,
It was beautiful. Saint Philomena.
Philomena, see.
Saint Lucy, which she was very. Saint Lucy was animated because you asked her.
Yes.
She said, oh, my eyes were plucked out. I was like, whoa.
Because the image of Saint Lucy is she's got the. She holds. Her two eyes on a plate. So she had a plate with two eyes. I said, what about this? She said, well, my eyes were plucked out, you know, before she was
martyred. She said,
martyred.
I'm like, wow, she really knows her stuff.
Who else, Christina?
We mentioned
you
the same.
You with a photogenic or what is it? Not photogenic. A photogenic memory or? What
photographic.
Photographic. Years ago, you told us that. You remember. So keep going.
So, well, that's what people are
doing. You're doing pretty well.
There was Padre Pio.
Padre Pio, right.
There was St. Anne.
Yep.
There was, we already said St. Michael.
There was, you're doing great. I mean, I couldn't do that well.
Yeah, and that was it was on Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
I'm forgetting already.
So, wow, this is even more impressive.
That's
she remembers since Tuesday. That's really funny. So what about...
how many females am I missing?
You're missing a couple of them. Okay, I'll give you a hint.
I already said St. Anne, right?
You said St. Anne.
St. Elizabeth. There were two Elizabeths.
St.
Elizabeth of Hungary.
So, by the way, that was funny, too, because remember I asked, I didn't know who this other St. Elizabeth was.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming it was the cousin of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The one was.
Yes.
So I thought this one was, too. And I asked her a question. The teacher came up and said, she doesn't speak English. And I said, Espanol. And... the teacher said, Hungarian. And so I thought, well, she speaks Hungarian. Then I realized later.
St. Elizabeth of
Elizabeth
Hungary.
Of Hungary, yes. Yeah. Elizabeth of Hungary.
And she was hungry.
Elizabeth of Hungary.
Okay, so who else? There are a couple of martyrs you missed.
St. Steve?
St. Stephen.
St. James.
St. James. You're doing really good. One of the gospel writers?
St.
Luke?
Luke. It was Phil. No, not Philip. James. But not Bartholomew.
One of the gospel writers.
You said one of the gospel writers.
There are four gospels, Christine.
Matthew, Mark, John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Right. So which one was there?
Was it Mark?
Matthew.
Oh, yeah, the tax collector.
Because I called him a doctor. I said, no, he's not a doctor. That was St. Luke. He was a tax collector. I corrected myself. He couldn't tell me. You know, he wouldn't tell me. it's funny how they withhold information from you, you know?
St. Bernadette.
St. Bernadette,
keep
exactly.
Guessing.
Yeah, St. Bernadette.
And you're missing one? Maybe two. You're missing two.
Two?
The two that I didn't know anything about, to be honest. They were martyrs. St. Sophia.
Oh, Sophia, yeah.
And St. Dorothy.
And I
really didn't know much.
Not so bad. That was Tuesday.
No, that was fantastic.
Pretty good.
So all these martyrs were martyred in the Diocletian persecution. What I did not know was that, and wouldn't you know it, I didn't bring my notes. See, I don't have that photographic memory that Christina has. Shucks. Or maybe I have it here. Yeah. So I didn't know that, here we go, that Dorothy.
I'm thinking of the Wizard of Oz.
That's what I said. Dorothy.
Saint Dorothy.
And your little dog, Toto.
From Cappadocia. And Theophilus wanted to take her for his wife, and she wanted to give her life to God. Theophilus was not a Christian. And so he mocked her, you know, because, okay, she's not going to, he's not going to take her for his wife, but they're also, because they're not going to worship to the God of the emperor, she was, she wouldn't sacrifice to the gods. And so Theophilus mockingly told her, okay, so when you go to heaven, your idea of heaven, then bring me a plate of fruit and flowers and vegetables from your garden. And as it happened, and that's why, if you remember, and I'm sure you do, that St. Dorothy had a bowl with fruit and vegetables and flowers. Because, as the story goes, that after she was martyred, in fact, she did bring to Theophilus a bowl of fruit
and vegetables.
Vegetables and flowers, and he converted.
Wow.
He became a Christian.
Wow.
So that was the story of St. Dorothy. And I did not know this about Philomena. Did you mention Philomena?
Philomena, she was a martyr also.
She was the daughter of a Greek king who converted to Christianity, made a vow of virginity. It's interesting how what a contrast from today, you know, when we don't even talk about purity and chastity but yet we're really leaning into the culture of the free reign of the flesh. Mm-hmm. But they valued purity and virginity and chastity and the like. And so St. Philomena vowed herself to virginity, but Diocletian actually fell in love with her, as the story goes. And because she wouldn't, again, give herself over to him, because these are very, very young girls in those days. They would take young brides. But she converted to Christianity, vowed herself to virginity, refused Diocletian's advances. And so he had her scourged, attacked with arrows, and drowned and decapitated. I talk about the and it makes me think of what happened in Israel.
Yes.
October 7th. I can't even mention the horrible things that happened. But anyway, so those were you did a very good job. You forgot one, I think.
I forgot two.
Did you forget two?
That's what you told me. Sophia
and Dorothy. And Dorothy. Did you say Patrick?
Did say
you
Patrick.
You did say Patrick.
Yes,
okay.
I did.
See, I already forgot that she said Patrick.
A photographic memory.
And they knew that, yeah. But anyway, he was 16 years old and captured, taken as a slave to Ireland. And while he was there, he was worked as a shepherd, escaped, went back to Britain, but then had a call from God to go back to Ireland. And it was there that he converted Ireland, became a bishop, and that's a story. So anyway, very good, Christina. That's very good.
Thank you.
Tony, I'm sure you would have known some of this.
Two, maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststandschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stan's Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststandschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody, as we wrap up, I think, right? We're going to wrap up maybe?
Soon.
We got about 14 minutes. So I want to talk, we'll switch over from All Saints Day. So the month begins with All Saints Day, which is really beautiful. And the Mass in the evening was I just thought it was a very beautiful Mass. As well, there's just some mass is mass, but sometimes there's just a great beauty, you know, with we had the incense and the music, and you were there, Tony,
yeah.
Right? I thought it was really, really beautiful, and a lot of people. I was saying last night though, because you were there as well, mm-hmm. and Christina was in the morning. I think were you in the
on
morning?
Tuesday? I keep on going back to Tuesday.
Tuesday. Your father was there last night.
My father was there, yes.
It wasn't, All Souls Day is not a holy day of obligation, but I was saying last night, thinking,
should
it
be.
Really should be, because we have to, again, this kind of morph back into a reality that is a reflection of God's mercy and love, and that is that, you know, I say there's two destinations, heaven and hell. Purgatory is a state of being, really, I mean, not necessarily a place, but a state of being. But if we die, we die in God's grace, but we haven't made reparation for our sins, we've missed the mark, then we've got, I'll give you the story that I told the students this morning, because I really want them to understand, you know, that there are two destinations, that heaven and hell. And I said, we just celebrated the Feast of All Saints, but I said, we got to get away from this this narrative today that God is love and therefore, you know, everybody's going to go to heaven. And when people die, you see, what never was a situation, Armin, you would probably know this as well. When we were kids, when a person died, it wasn't the celebration of that person's life. Right? It was a celebration of Christ's life, and it was, you know, praying for the dead, even so much so that the priest wore black at the funeral. And it's interesting, on All Souls Day, we have the option of wearing violet, black, or white. And today I wore black, the vestment black, so as to emphasize with the young people that, you know, we really have a responsibility to pray for the dead. And, you know, I use the gospel where Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God and faith also in me. That in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I'm going, you know the way. And Thomas said to him, Master, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. But so the point is, you know, and again, with the young people, we can't be afraid to speak about death. This is to the students. Yeah, we're not going to be here forever. We're all going to die. And I could point to the little shrine at the corner of the church. It says, you see all those pictures. There's pictures of people's grandparents or grandmother, grandfather, their mothers or fathers or brothers or sisters, aunts, uncles, even children. These are all people who have died. We're all going to die someday. We don't know the day nor the hour. We don't know when, but we know that we're going to all die someday. We're not going to be here forever. And so the Lord has said, I prepare a place for you that where I am you will be, but you will be with me if you live, because if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right? So we've got that we can't go through life with the presumption that we can do anything we want. God isn't permissive. He is a demanding God. And then I use the story of the young man who went to Jesus and said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit life everlasting? Or what must I do to go to heaven? So kids understand that. And Jesus looked at the young man and he says, why do you call me good? He says, there's only one who's good, and that's your Father in heaven, because, of course, the Lord hasn't yet revealed his messianic identity, and he's pointing beyond himself, as he does through the whole of the gospel. It's only toward the end that we really, you have seen me, you've seen the Father. But in any case, so that we, as we make our way through life, we got to think beyond ourselves, you know, look to God the Father, through Jesus to the Father, and that we got to, you know, fulfill the two great commandments, or a summation of the Ten Commandments, love the Lord your God with your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit, and all your strength, the Shema, coming from the Old Testament, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So Jesus said then to the young man, he said, have you kept the commandments? And the young man said, well, of course. You know, and I love this because it was kind of as if to say, well, of course, this is what we do. Mm-hmm. We keep the commandments. So, yes, I've kept the commandments. I like it. Why do you ask? You know, wouldn't you know that I would keep the commandments? And I asked the young people, can we say that today? If the Lord were to ask us, would we just assume that, well, why are you asking? Of course I'm keeping the commandments. Do they even matter anymore to people? You wonder, right? And so Jesus says, well, that's good. I'm glad. And he says, but there's another thing I want you to do. I want you to sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and you come and follow me. And the young man, he went away very sad. Now, Jesus looked on him lovingly. But the point was that, you know, so it's not only that we're required to obey the commandments of God, but the Lord takes us beyond the commandments. And basically what he's saying is doesn't mean literally that everybody's going to have to sell everything and... But he is making a point. I want you to give me your life. I want your life. And why? Because, again, Jesus is God in the flesh, the second person of the Trinity. God the Father sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world. And the love of the Son and the Father, the Holy Spirit. I want you to give me your life so that, you know, you will inherit life everlasting, that you go to heaven. So you get the point that I'm making, is that we've got to think that way. I said, you know, it's for each and every one of us to ask ourselves, you know, what keeps us from God? Do we think about God? Do we make an offering to God every day? Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. I offer you my life. I entrust you my life. And we persevere in that in all humility, knowing that we need God. Again, we come from God, we go to God, we choose to live in God. And if we don't do that, you see, the thing is, if we don't do it, yeah, okay, let's presume that we're keeping the commandments and we even deviate. That's where we go to confession, we have Mass, you know, we acknowledge we're sinners before we begin. As we begin Mass, we acknowledge we're not worthy to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. Which is, again, just the antithesis of the attitude today, right? That, you know, oh, this is something that is due me. No, Lord, I am not worthy. that you come under my roof. Say but only the word, my soul will be healed. I mean, humility is really what's lacking most in the church and in the world today among our people. And it's because we've become so kind of narcissistic. I keep seeing we've been breeding narcissism for so long. And so we're quite arrogant, quite prideful people, and to our own demise. Because again, Jesus said, if you're unfaithful, I'm faithful. I'm always here, you know, always waiting, you know, come back to me. If you deviate from this narrow path, get back on the path, stay in the discipline. But again, discipline, our faith is a discipline. But if he says, but if you deny me, I deny you. Because I can't force you to respond in love to my love and, you know, to the kids, because you get the huge crucifix there. I just refer, point to the crucifix. I said, you know, he, what more can he do to convince you? He loves you. He laid down his life. And so, yeah, we may deviate. We sin. That says we go to confession. We come to Mass. We acknowledge that we're sinners. But we don't want to don't deny him. Because, again, he's not, love isn't putting a gun to your head and forcing you to do what you choose not to do. But the point is, I guess there's many points, is that we've got to begin to talk about hell, the reality of hell, that and not be presumptuous that, you know, we can do anything we want. But you wonder, is it even an issue for people today? And that's really, I think, what do they say, the devil, what he wants is that you not believe in him. You know, and, you know, so we've got to be concerned for the salvation of souls. And I know that just is very jarring to many people today in the world, and sad to say, even in the church. But that's the biblical message. Preach repentance from sin, metanoia, change of heart, transformation, you know, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And, you know, so it's important that they understand that. And that purgation, if we die, unlike the young man, he was keeping the commandments, but he was distracted and detached. No, not detached, attached to many things that he couldn't give himself over to God, over to Christ. And I think that's a question for all of us as well. We need... I think what's lacking today as well, along with humility, is asceticism, which is a certain detachment from even good things in order to attach ourselves, to cleave, to lean into Jesus, so that we have this sensitivity and desire to know God, to love God, and to serve God. And it's really vital that we begin to preach the full counsel of God, because if we don't, then it's, in fact, we'll talk about this on Tuesday, but it'll be, everybody listened to the first reading this Sunday from the prophet Malachi, and you know very well that if I, as a priest, don't speak and preach and proclaim the full counsel of God, I will be most severely judged. But all of us will have to be, judgment will be rendered to all of us at the end of all things. And so that's why we humbly come before the Lord and say, Jesus, mercy, I trust in you. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
To say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? Marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The